Good morning, all. It's great to be with you. Some people ask, when did I last come? 12 months ago, last Remembrance Sunday. There were fewer than there are today. There were fewer then than there are today. In recent weeks, I've been thinking about my journey of faith. And it all began by me being invited to preach at one of my previous churches. I was terrified then, and I'm terrified now. So let us come in faith. Come in faith to worship the Lord. Come in obedience to serve others. Come in thanksgiving to celebrate God's healing grace and wholeness. And inclusive love. Come, for the Lord is calling. Come. Let's pray. Loving Lord, as we come into your presence, help us to remember that we belong to you and that we can always trust you. Teach us something new about you today. Help us to listen to all that you have to say to us and to learn from you so that we may grow more like Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We now have two worship songs. Come, now is the time to worship.
Thank you.
My wife, Jill, and I attended a couple of weeks ago a funeral service of a dear friend of ours of over 50 years. Don was his name, and we travelled to a place called Newcastle Emlyn, Carmarthenshire, Wales. Interestingly, the service was conducted entirely in Welsh. Our Welsh isn't very limited. Very, very limited. However, the eulogy was in English, so we got a flavour of what went on in Don's life. But however, with that said, we could hum the tunes of the hymns, because we knew them. We could also say the Psalm 23, because the same intonations are there. And we joined in the Lord's Prayer in English, because we knew what they were saying, because of the same intonations. Both of us were amazed at the number of people who attended that service. And afterwards, at the wake, we spoke with a number of Welsh people. Thankfully, they could speak English. And I realized what a wonderful community that church was. That fellowship was superb. The church was full. The wake was full of people who wanted to share all about Don's life and his faith journey with God. And it set me thinking about church and community. And so this morning, I want us to think about the community of this church, what it means to you, and what part it plays in the community of Whitney, not only in this generation, but going forward into the future. And we'll come on to that a little bit later, but we're going to sing another hymn. Come, let us sing to the one, singing the faith. If you've got a music copy and you're following, it's number 2.
Leading us in the way of the sun. Come. is the spirit within, is the boldness to speak, is the power to run when we're weak. Come, come, let us sing to our God.
We come to a time of praise and confession. Let's pray. Gracious God, we're here to worship you, to lift up our voices in grateful praise. We come with gladness because of your great love for each one of us. We have so much to celebrate. We bring to you this service, our hymns, our songs, our music, our readings and talks, offering them all to you as an expression of thanksgiving, an outpouring of praise, and a token of our love. Living Lord, in this time, receive our praise, and together as we remember the wonder of your love, and as we rejoice in all you have done for us, we give you grateful thanks. We thank you that we can worship you in safety and in peace. And we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, into the world to be our Lord, who died for us. But most of all, Lord, he is in heaven with you as our Redeemer and Saviour. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. We confess, though, Lord, that we have sinned. We have failed to return thanks for gifts and blessings showered upon us in grace by you, our generous God. We have failed to see the face of God in the faces of others disfigured by disease. We have shunned the company of those who are not like us. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, and grant us thankful hearts and the grace to express our thanks in changed lives and attitudes. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hopefully a pencil will appear. Can I have the next one, please? And another one. Who's used a pencil this week? Oh, a number of you. What do you use your pencils for? Writing. Anybody else use it for something different? Color crosswords. I use this pencil for doing my crosswords. I use a pencil. Why do you use it? You can rub it out. Yeah, so do I. So this is my pencil that I use. Pencils. Is there another slide, please? Who's used a crayon this week? What have you used crayons for? Colouring in. Creating a picture. Colouring pictures, things I can't do. Have we got another slide, please? Oh, it might, will it? Oh, there's a, that doesn't look very good. It's a bit worn down, that one. And another one, please. Oh. And another one. That's a school pencil, that one. What does a broken pencil tell you about it? Pam? It doesn't work. It's run out of lead, hasn't it? And what do we use? We use a little thing like this. Might sharpen it for us, so we can use it again. I didn't bring one for somebody to sharpen, thankfully. Is a pencil always sharp, or is it always blunt? As we gather together today, there's some more, another slide, hopefully. Oh, another one, and another one, and another one. Lots. Are you a sharp pencil, or are you a blunt pencil? Are you always alert, or are you always tired and perhaps a bit bloated and blunted? Are you broken? Are you in need of care? I can't tell you what you are, but you know what's going on in your life at the moment. In my lifetime, which is quite long now, I've attended many different churches. And in all of those churches, I've been a part of the church family. I've attended churches in a place called Ormskirk in Lancashire, where I'm from. I've attended churches in Southport after I got married to Jill. And then we moved to a place called Chester, some of you may know it, where we worshipped. We moved to South Manchester to a place called Cheadlehume, where we worshipped. And then we came to Whitney, and I worshipped here for a long time. And I now worship at Longhambra. In all of those churches, as I say, I was part of the church family. People caring for one another. People looking out for one another and caring for people outside of their fellowships. All of you here this morning are part of the family of this church. You are called to behave lovingly to one another. I invite you to look around at your church family. Smile at them, wave to them. Hopefully you recognize somebody. This family is special to this church. You should be looking after one another in this church. And when a member of the fellowship might upset you, go and talk to them. Find out and explain perhaps why they've upset you so that forgiveness can come and the relationship can be restored. Because we are called to forgive. In any family, we do fall out from time to time, but God forgives us, and we should forgive other people. As I look around from up here, you are an assortment of different people. You're not all the same, thankfully. You're all unique. Like those pencils, you are sharp. Sharp people. God has called you here for a purpose, to tell of the good news of Jesus. And by doing that, you will become, and you are, a church that welcomes people, that cares, not just in this place, but for the people in this community. May this long go on. God has put you here for a purpose. It's what you do here that is very important. And we'll think about that a little bit later on. You are a family. And our two Bible readings talk about family. And I don't know who's coming first. Is it Fred? No. Who's coming? Ah. And as she comes, we're going to pray. Lord God, thank you for the gift of your word. Your word teaches us, your word challenges, and your word trains us. As we listen now to our Bible readings, by the power of your Spirit, help us to understand what each reading has to say to us, so we may live holy lives for you. Amen.
The Lord appears to Solomon. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want to do us a favour. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honour next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering? I am about to drink. Are you able to be baptized with baptism of suffering? I must be baptized with you. Oh yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from the bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And when 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in the world lord in over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whatever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man come not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Praise be to God.
Called to be servants, we're called to be a servant of God. So we sing from 664, Lord, you call us to your service.
To caring, glory.
I talked about you as a community of people, a fellowship who worship here. You should give thanks to all who worship with you, Sunday by Sunday, whether they be young or whether they be old. You should welcome them and worship with them and give thanks to them. But you should also remember the people who visit these premises day by day, be it as part of a church fellowship or be it as a group who uses this building for their own particular needs. Many groups come in here, many people come in here during the week, and you should give thanks for them coming here. God has created each one of you individually and each one of them individually. You've all got different talents and gifts as the people who come here week by week. And just like the ingredients in any recipe, and I'm not very good at cooking, you all bring different gifts here to this fellowship. In that reading from the Old Testament, we heard how Solomon built that temple. What we didn't hear was the bit where David, his dad, had prepared the way for Solomon to build that temple. If you know the story well, in the books of the Kings and the Chronicles, David had planned and constructed the temple. But it was Solomon who carried it out. So I want to take you back on a journey now. This church, you have to give thanks to the people who built it in the first place. People who had perseverance. They wanted to build a fellowship of people here. And in 2025, it's important to remember them. Many of them built this place. And the fellowship has grown, dwindled, and grown throughout those years. The purpose of remembering is not to be nostalgic about the past, but to thank God for the life of those people who had the courage to build this church in the first place, to the work and witness of the people who have worshipped here through the years. Remember how they lived and loved the Lord that they served, and also the way they witnessed to the people outside of this building. Their example of Christian living must be an inspiration to each of us today. Any family has its problems. We all experience them throughout our lives. And I feel sure that today, that there are problems within the fellowship of this church. I have no knowledge. Human relationships go up and down, not always sweetness and light. And our reading from Chronicles was a reading, an example of how things go wrong. But most of all, it tells of how God's love is supreme. God didn't allow David to build the temple because he had too much blood on his hands from things that he had done in the past. But as we read that story of David and of Solomon, we realize that they too were human. They made mistakes. We make mistakes. David, we know, used his authority to kill somebody whom he didn't, who he wanted to get out of the way. He did it for his own selfish needs, not for his needs of the people, but for himself. But David repented, and God forgave him. James and John, in our Mark reading, thought only in human terms. They were wanting to find out who was the greatest. Was it me? Was it him? They wanted to know who was the best. Relationships are at the heart of what it means to be human. Some relationships are easy. Some are extremely difficult. Some take a lot of effort, and some take little effort at all. Our relationship with God can be like that at times. Sometimes it's easy, and other times it's very difficult. Sometimes our relationship with God seems to go along swimmingly for weeks and weeks and weeks, whilst at other times we struggle with our faith, with closeness, or with perceiving that God is close to us. I go through times like that, and I'm sure you do. But I'm always reminded and brought back sharply when I remember that God's never left me. It's me that's left him. He's always standing by me, on my shoulder, if you like. God is there for us at all times. David and Solomon made mistakes in their lives. They hurt individuals, but they knew God's forgiveness. It was an ongoing situation with them of repentance and forgiveness. And that makes for good relationships with people too. Repentance and forgiveness is at the heart of being a Christian. And it makes for a good relationship between individuals and God. The good news, God's good news for each one of us, is because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, wrong can be forgiven. We never have to worry that one day there will come a time when we've messed up one time too many. And God will no longer forgive us. God has promised that he will always forgive us. God always forgives. Are you in need of forgiveness today? Have you done things that you are ashamed of, that you've not owned up to? God forgives. Prayer is available at the end of the service. If there's something in your heart that you need to let out, seek prayer at the end of this service. We'll pause there and we'll sing a song. The song is about relationships and asking God's love to come upon us. Let there be love shared among us, and we'll sing it through twice.
Oh, yeah.
Before we sang that song, we talked about relationships and how difficult they can be with other folk and also with God, and how they can affect us at different times in our lives. So what's all this got to do with us today? Well, there's one group I've not yet mentioned, and that's the folk who will come after us today. We've mentioned the people who set this church up. We've talked about this fellowship as it is now, but what about the people who are going to come this place after we're no longer here? Well, I have a challenge for you. A challenge this morning that I hope you will listen to and perhaps engage with. What do you want this church to look like in 5 years or 10 years' time? I invite you and challenge you as a church fellowship to think deeply about that. Many of us won't be around in 5 and 10 years' time. So I invite you, as I say, to think seriously about what you want your church to look like in that time. A review, if you like. And any review must start with you. About who you are as a person, who you are as a community of Christians, and what you have to offer outside these walls of the church to the community and to the generations who will come after you. The recent COP30 conference looked at, among other things, at how we can safeguard our planet going forward for future generations. Many suggestions and plans and ideas have been made, but it's the responsibility of all nations who will have to engage with the outcomes of that conference to make a difference to this world. And so it is with the church. Is there anything that you need to do differently to engage with the folk who live in Whitney so that God's great love can be shared with them? Is there anything that needs to be done differently now for the future? And if you accept what I've challenged you to do, I remind you that all of your talking and deliberations about the life of this church now and going forward, it must be rooted in prayer. It must be done in the light of Christ. But what do I mean by that? I mean quite simply that we are in a loving relationship between each one of you and with God. And God is at the heart of any Christian community. A community is based on forgiveness, honesty, commitment, and truth. It's a relationship where wrong can be forgiven. It's a relationship where people are committed to working together for the good of the church and for the glory of God's name. If you go through this process, I would be surprised if there was not some falling out, because people come with different ideas. They want their ideas against others. And that's fine. What we are called to do is work through our differences and come up with a plan for this church in the next 5 or 10 years. So if you do take this up, my prayer is that as you go forward over the next few months, years, decades even, May the Spirit of Christ go with you and give you strength to continue to be a community who are forgiving and forgiven. Continue to be a fellowship who gather together for prayer on a regular basis, either at set times in this building or in the comfort of your own homes, so that God will bless you and this community, and that his name and his work will be glorified in this place and in the community, not just today, but in the future. God bless you if you take up this challenge, because his Spirit will move among you and you will see what is required of you. Let's pray. May the Spirit of God open our eyes and our ears to the work of God in our lives, in our community and in the world, and help us to respond as we are called. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next hymn is a challenge to all of us, called by Christ to be disciples. You may not know the words, but you'll know the tune. we sit, we give thanks to God for our offertory. God of many blessings, we respond to your generosity with our gifts of money, in whichever way we give them, praying that they and the service of our lives may be used to benefit those in need and to share the gospel of Christ. Amen.
There is a response to our prayers. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please will you respond with, hear our prayers. God of today, yesterday and forever, you were there at the beginning, your spirit waiting, your word waiting to be spoken. We seek you now in this time, not just for ourselves, but for those around us that we know and love, for those around us we are unsure of and we do not know yet, for those we find it difficult to relate to, and for those who we do not trust or whom we fear. In your mercy, will you give us the humility and the strength to be your hands of grace and to bring your way of mercy into every encounter and situation where you have blessed us to be. We pray first for this church and the communities in which we live, for families, friends, and neighbours. We bring before you all those who come to our minds, those you lay on our hearts to pray for, that they may know your presence and your love for them. In the quiet, we lift our prayers to the God who hears our cry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for all creation, where there is famine and drought, where crops have failed, or sources of food have been damaged, destroyed, or cut off. We ask for provision and for abundance where there is scarcity. In the midst of climbing global temperatures that will melt ice caps and damage habitat, as we see plastic and pollution in the oceans and other water sources, will you help us, O God, to live more responsibly, that we might work with you and the creatures of this world to tend to the earth and live well together. Lord, in your mercy. As we see conflict and division, both near to us and far from us, we seek peace and healing. Where there is violence in word and in action, may it cease. In the senseless attacks and killing of those perceived to be different or a threat, we cry out for mercy, for grace, for love to prevail and to win out over death and destruction. May all that fuels hatred be healed. May anything contrary to your way of peace and love be removed, and may justice roll down like a mighty river to refresh hearts and minds, to replenish cities laid waste. May hopes and dreams flourish once more, that all might live in fullness and without fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for our leaders and our governments. May they hold fast to what is right and just. And may we see policies, decisions, and actions that make a fairer place for us all to live, where the hallmarks are grace, compassion, mercy, and equity for all. Lord, in your mercy, we pray now for ourselves. God of compassion, meet us here in our need. Lord, in your great mercy, hear the prayers that have been said, whispered, imagined, and felt. We trust them to your grace and mercy. And now we join in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us stand in the presence of the Nazarene and sing.
Jesus, the Nazarene, and one.
Do you know that for yourselves? Before our final blessing, firstly, can I thank all those who have taken part in whatever way in this morning's service, and also remind you that there is coffee and tea and biscuits afterwards. But also, I was here the Sunday after Christmas last year in the congregation. The Reverend Charles Harris took that service, and he set each of us a challenge. Does anybody remember what that challenge was? Oh, see some funny faces? No. Shall I remind you? Charles reminded us that we are Christians and our primary responsibility is to talk to others about our faith. And he challenged all of us every day this year to talk to somebody about Jesus. Looking at your faces, that challenge has been failed. I remind you of that challenge, but I also remind you of the challenge that I set to you as well. Think about this church and where it will be in 5-10 years' time. Let's pray. The God who called us here is sending us out to turn words into deeds, worship into service, and vision into reality. Together we have celebrated the faith. Now let's share it in the name of Christ. And as we leave this place, let us share in the words of the grace to and with each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.